This is another episode of Connecting the Dots podcast. I'm Skip Stewart, Vice President and Chief Improvement Officer at Baptist Memorial Healthcare.
Hey everyone, I'm Brad Parsons, Vice President of Market Operations at Baptist.
Hey everybody, I'm HF Mason. I'm a General Surgeon and Chief Quality Officer for the Baptist System.
Well, folks, we have a special gift today. We have Mike Martin, and we've had Mike on the podcast before. He's written many books. Many people know Mike because of the Shingo Institute and of his consulting company. But today what we're going to talk to Mike about is leader standard work. And we're actually going to even label this podcast Making Leader Standard Work Work, meaning making it work for you. But before we jump into that conversation, Mike, if you would tell our audience a little bit about yourself and your background.
Thanks, Skip. It's great to be back. I really enjoyed the time that I got to talk with you guys before and looking forward to sharing some stuff. I have been doing this for a while now, and I think we were talking beforehand that all that means is maybe I've got a bit more bruises on this, a few more skinned knees doing it, but definitely a lot of just practical experience trying to do it for ourselves, our organization, and also try to make leader standard work understandable and really relatable to those groups and leaders that we work with. I mean, I think the hallmark of the approach has always been, if it's not practical and we can't start getting some confidence and results quickly, the likelihood is maybe somebody wants to either ditch it, they start to question it, or maybe it just doesn't have the power that they were hoping to get from it. So I'm looking forward to having a conversation about it.
Mike, thanks for being on. For our listeners on Connecting the Dots, I'm wondering if we can just start with a definition, your definition of leader standard work.
You know, that's a really great question. And I would say that I haven't used like one definition that, you know, I put out there and I say, this is leader standard work. But I'll tell you, over the last couple of years, what's been very interesting to when we look at what is considered leader standard work is there's a bit of a blend between what does it mean to do my job? And then what does it mean to continuously improve my job? And what we've really tried to challenge leaders with is to understand or at least embrace this idea that if you're truly going to be successful moving the organization forward, you've got to have an element of, do you do the work well? Are you confident in what it means to do your role, your responsibility? And then what does it mean to continuously improve what you do and how you do it? So our definition of leader standard work has been to kind of embrace both sides of that and focus a bit, you know, when we think of leader standard work in the excellence field, it tends to be a little bit more around the how do you improve the work, you know, how are you engaging people, problem solving. But man, we also have leaders that feel a lot of confidence in just knowing, do they know their critical processes and what does it mean to be successful with their given role and their responsibility? And there's some standard work around that, too, that I think we need to consider.
And Mike, you know, case in point here, you know, I'm nowhere near as far along my lean journey as Brad and Skip are. But, you know, and leader standard work is kind of a buzzword. As Brad alluded to, a lot of us don't understand it. It can be a little bit confusing. Some people think it's just a checklist of, you know, it's whatever you're supposed to be doing every day. And it may not even be related to dealing with other people. Talk to us a little bit about those misconceptions.
Wow, that's really a great question. And I think that when it starts to be everything I think I should do, I mean, down to, am I supposed to say when I take a break? Am I supposed to put when I return a phone call or something?
Yeah.
I think by definition, it starts to become overwhelming and this checklist look endless. You know, it's like, well, these are all the things. And especially if you're in a variable environment, which I'm sure you guys are, where, you know, you're not doing the same thing over and over again, then that overwhelming checklist of everything I think I'm going to plan, a lot of times by about 8 a.m., it gets thrown out the window because, well, things have happened right that I didn't anticipate. So what we try to do or, you know, is really focus on what are some of the critical processes that move the organization forward, move a leader forward, and start building some standard routines, some habits, some success factors around those. And rather than documenting everything you might do, make sure those are, you know, the big rocks in your day, that those get done. And then you have room for flexibility. You have room for some of that variability that you know is going to hit you. And you don't want to lead somebody down a path to where then they're looking at that checklist going, well, I never complete my checklist. Does that mean I'm doing something wrong? And I think maybe that's more, we're setting ourselves up to fail when we try to document everything versus focusing on those critical few.
Yeah, Mike, I really like that. And also, I mean, I'm sitting here really thinking about really our conversation today of trying to make it more practical, trying to make it real. And so, again, and I think you articulated that really well, but we also, I think a lot of times on this podcast, we like to be very practical. So let's kind of unpack that, because leader standard work is a big thing, something a lot of folks talk about. It's something that we've tried to do at Baptist and quite frankly, can give kind of answers like you gave to honing in on and figuring out those best things. That's really hard to do. I guess I want to start with, hey, this is not easy work. If it was easy work, this would not be a very good podcast.
Yeah, just jump right in there. Just challenge. Yeah. I love that. All right. So I guess the question is then, how do we start make it practical, right? How do we start jumping in and doing this in a way that let's say we're imagining a new leader to this, you know, and it's a new concept. I'll say the first thing is that I really try to focus on a leader looking at what is their role and what are their top three critical processes. You know, I try to have them first focus on, you've got many things you're going to do, right? Many things you're going to learn over your career, many nuances to what maturing and getting better. But if you looked at the top three processes that you have, they're going to drive the majority of whether or not you're going to say it was a win, your job wise. Forget about, we also want you, oh, by the way, problem solve, engage people, help us get better every day. We're talking about just blocking and tackling. I find even the conversation to get down to three is amazing.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And it started with, we had some leaders and we were working with some HR groups on there, like, we need to do a better job of equipping our leaders, training them, making them successful. And before you know it, they had a spreadsheet of like 140 things they needed to learn how to do. And, you know, and I said, I'm not the smartest guy out there, but I'm like, how long do they get to learn this? And they're like, 90 days. And I'm like, I don't think that's maybe physically possible. Now, again, not the smartest guy. I think I set that up from the beginning. But what if you had to pare that list down? What if you had to say there are many things you are going to learn to do and you could do, but these are the things you have to do? That starts to get a leader thinking about that cause and effect of, there's a certain number of my activities that are going to lead to a disproportionate amount of the benefit to myself and to those that I serve. That's where we start getting this idea of leader standard work, just on my role. Just on my role. Well, if you do that, then you look on the other side. You guys have been involved in improvement and you got a lot of people on the podcast. You're doing it yourself. If you made a list of just the number of things that they want us as leaders to do to have a culture of continuous improvement, I don't think it's any low. I don't even think it's shorter than the 140. It might be longer, because every time a guy like me releases a new book, you're like, am I supposed to do that as well? I mean, seriously, is that supposed to add to my list? So then we started to say, well, what if we took the same idea on that side? What if I said, what are the top five things that you think a leader needs to do as part of your improvement system, your daily management system, that are going to give them the biggest bang for the buck to helping build the culture you want, align in the way that's productive, listen to the voice of, you know, your patients and integrate that into the work that you do? And that becomes, I think, a little bit more of a difficult decision than just, well, add another line on your Excel spreadsheet and figure out whether you do that on Mondays, Tuesdays, or Fridays. And we started with that. And I think that is the most productive exercise a leader can do. You can't do everything. So do you know what the most important things are that are going to have an effect on your organization? Because if we do that, then we can start to get to the quality of how I do it, which is where the real magic is. It's not so much did I do it, but did it create the effect that I was hoping it would create? So I start on both sides, almost putting leaders into that untenable situation. Well, if you're going to make me get down to five, then it's these five. But I think that's where the richness of the dialogue even starts.
That's a great comment. And a question I have is, how much of the day should a leader be focusing on leader standard work? And does it matter, you know, a nurse manager who's managing a unit versus a VP versus a CEO, I would imagine that the time dedicated to leader standard work is going to differ.
Wow, that's a great question. This is the point at which you go, well, he didn't even have this answer. Why did we get this guy in the podcast?
I want to just expound on HF's comment. It's really good. And I think one of the things that, Mike, I heard you say just to
It's really good, but...
No. We don't want to make it something else or something different. I think I've failed in trying to incorporate leader standard work and making it feel like it's another add-on. So, I mean, it's got to be incorporated into the things that they're already doing and developing that as truly leader standard work. So I don't know, but that may be a jumping off point, Mike, for you to kind of expound on what does it look different at different levels in the organization?
Okay. I do think it looks different. I mean, I really do, because if we just think of our role in the organization, you know, a senior executive, let's say a senior manager versus like a team lead or, you know what I mean, a practitioner out there, I do think that the activities, maybe some of them are grouped loosely together. Like if I said, hey, I do believe all the way up to a senior level, participating in a daily huddle, even if we call that more of an escalation huddle, is critical. No different than I would say we've got a team that's doing a huddle. We might at the highest level think that really is something that as leaders we should make part of our standard work and get really good at. The content would be different, right? We would look at what's the intent of it. And so to answer your first question, I never approached it like how much time you should spend. I never targeted it and said, well, I've seen this before where somebody says, hey, at your level, you should be 80% standard, you know, and then you go up and you should be 50 and then you should be 15. And I'm not saying that maybe over time, if you look at what works for you, you wouldn't find some percentages. But I've approached it a little bit differently, maybe from the perspective of if you look at the role of a leader, whatever their role is, we spend a little bit more time on what does it mean to win as that leader, not just your job description, but what's the purpose of it. Then what are key behaviors that characterize whether or not that role is truly successful? And what are some leadership attributes that are going to make that happen? And when you start to put those things together, all of a sudden it starts to inform, if I think, what would standards be for you? How would that translate out into your environment? Then we find from a starting point, I don't want to overload somebody. I really don't want to make a lot to the standard work, because a lot of times in those first phases, they're still dealing with a ton of variability in their world. You know, and as they're trying to stabilize maybe a little bit of what is variable right now, they have an opportunity to maybe shift the percentage of what they call standard work over time. But I think the most important is to stick with a couple of activities that are going to yield positive benefit. If the leader doesn't see that that activity has value, I feel like we're fighting an uphill battle, because now you're trying to Brad's point, you're trying to go like, but it's good for you. Just keep doing it. You'll thank me later. It's like, well, I probably won't the way this is going, you know, just to be frank. And then what I see is when we do that, we start to see a leader find that if they know the effect they're trying to have, they'll find that balance of time that they need, you know, and we see the percentage go up a little bit, truthfully, over time. But I want success in motion, and then I want them to develop, you know, what they feel is that next step for them versus giving them 100 line items and telling them good luck, you know, fit these in sometime.
Yeah, Mike, paint the picture, if you will, or kind of, you could give an example or really a testimonial to a manager that's out there listening and saying, like, yeah, I've heard about leader standard work. It just sounds like more work for me. Like, why do I really need to do that? What's in it for me? I mean, how do you answer that question maybe for a manager, new manager or experienced manager? But that is kind of in the weeds and is inundated with the daily work that is managing their department or their responsibility.
Gotcha.
And they feel burnout and kind of always just putting out fires. And why do I need this thing called leader standard work?
Wow. You're throwing me all the softball questions. Thanks, Brad. That's great. No, they're the most important questions because we all have to deal with them, right? I feel like the first cell is ourself. If we can't answer that for ourselves, how do we answer that for anybody else? I think in some respects, you know, I'm going to look at a new leader and I'm going to say, let's look at what it means for you to be successful at what you do. You know, let's look at the struggles you're having right now that are keeping you from adding something else to your plate. I think the second part is that if we don't show how it's not an add, but it's an instead of, you know, if we can't show how the activities that we would be doing in some of these fundamental, like let's say the three things for standard work, how that's going to help them, I think they should ask what's in it for me. I think they should be a little bit reticent to say, you guys think of new tools for me all the time. This is just another one that I'm using. The second thing is that I really always want to tap into the idea that our job as leaders is to get results, period.
Absolutely.
That's it.
That's great.
It's not to put in a new process. It's not to manage a new system. It's to get results. I think the magic is making sure that those results are, when we say what winning is, I think you got to tap into more than just, did I hit my numbers? Did we not have mistakes? But it's like, how did I impact people? Do we have a better work environment? Am I actually looking forward to my job more today than I was yesterday? And if those things constitute the win, then I'm going to help them connect those two. Because if you look at a leader standard work list and you can't tell how it's going to affect those things, I do think we should question it.
Yep.
I think we owe it to ourselves.
That's a great point. And, you know, I'm just sitting here thinking, you know, a lot of our day is spent putting out fires, as Brad said, but, you know, maybe if we put more leader standard work, you know, that we're doing daily, maybe we could avoid a lot of that firefighting that we're doing. And we would see things before they, I'm preaching to the choir. We'd see things before they get out of hand.
I think the idea that, you know, from a leader's perspective, that we could imagine a world that was just a little bit less reactive and more proactive is kind of a nice idea. You know, that may mean in my environment, but like, how would it feel to have a certain percentage of the activities that truly felt like you were proactive, impacting the things you hoped you would impact versus reacting to the things that have sprouted up? But I think that also is another, to your point, reinforcing why let's start practically, let's start focused, and then let's see if we build that over time. You know, let's see what we need to add to it versus starting with the list that somebody said you got to start with all these things, and you're fighting that uphill battle of, I don't understand this, it is too much, why do we do this, versus connecting with a few and building as you go.
Yeah,
I like that, Micah. And I want to use that. I want to go all the way back to where we started. So you started, you said, you know, leaders' responsibility is to do their mm-hmm. job, do the work.
Yep.
And leaders' responsibility is to improve the work. Something that I've been known to say a time or two in the past, for leaders especially, is improving the work really is the work. That's our work as leaders. Improving the work is the work.
That was pretty awesome. Like, that's an awesome plug.
Well, I appreciate that.
Yeah, because it's on the consulting website. It's on his,
there you go.
It's on Mike's consulting website. It sure is.
Wow, that's awesome.
SISU Consulting.
So Mike, connect us there. Tell us about it.
That's awesome. Nicely done. Nicely done. I was not expecting that one. Yeah, improving the work is the work. Well, isn't it? I mean, you know, it's interesting to me that when you say that, that is where we are looking at leader standard work as what we do to affect the environment in the way that we need to be successful as our work, rather than something in addition to. And I do feel that is for all of us with new leaders. I think that initial challenge is to help them adopt a mindset and see what we see. That, like, how do these fundamental things connect with our ability to affect our environment productively to where when we do these, we are getting the results that we hoped for, rather than, well, I'm also supposed to take care of all this stuff you guys want me to manage. And then, oh, by the way, you want me to check off five boxes today. Well, I think it's up to us to bring those together philosophically and purpose-wise so they can see it. And I think if there's a certain activity we're doing right now and we can't bring it together, I'm a believer, then we should question it. Then we should really say, well, it doesn't matter if everybody else calls that their leader standard work. If that is not making lives better for people, our patients, and everything else, then why? Just because somebody else says to do it? I really don't ascribe to that. I think we got to do what matters.
And so, Mike, don't you think there are tools and systems that help accomplish both?
Yes. I do. I think I really do believe that a closed loop daily management system where you truly go from gap, goal to gap, gap to action, action to outcome, that is really what brings it home. Because for where we are, if I say to you, level one to me getting involved in this is first, let's put some standards around your critical processes. Before you get into all these other things, let's have you feel successful in what you know is on your business card, your job. You know, let's have you be successful. But then level two is let's have standard work aligned to the management system that is meaningful to your team. And it always sounds really good until you add that little meaningful to your team. And it's a bit of a setup, I know. It's kind of like, uh-oh. And I'll ask people, they're like, well, how do you know if you're doing it right? It's like, well, if your team would rather you didn't show up tomorrow, it's not meaningful. You know, so that's that trigger. And we use a lot of experience with that. I think that's the other thing that's truly missing. That leader standard work is viewed as a bit of a one-way direction of what I should do with my day, with my time to be more successful. And I feel like it misses that other half, that if you really look at huddles and coaching and rounding and things as positive, I'm going to be hard pressed not to say there's a relationship that needs to happen with our people. And so if they're not also loving the fact that I'm doing it, it's probably a good sign that we've got a one-way direction of a checklist versus a collaborative conversation that's coming out of some of these activities. And so we use that a little bit as our check process too. If your teams want you back tomorrow, it's hard to say you're doing it wrong. If they really would rather you round in the other area, there might be some opportunities to improve.
You know, I love the way you're tying the daily management to the leader standard work, because that's one thing that we're really working on at the unit level is having these managers and these units develop daily management boards and, you know, figuring out what makes that unit run well and having that visualize that leader's going to know where their work is going to be. Does that make sense?
Yep. Yeah, it does. And if I as a leader can look at it and say, what does it mean to run a great unit right now? Like, what does that mean just to have that kind of a day that if people walk through, they're like, that is a great unit. And then what does it mean to continuously improve what it means to be a great unit? Those are the two things together. I mean, one is the level one, like blocking and tackling, you know, did you serve people? Did you get out there? You know, did we put ourselves in a great position for patient safety? And then what does it mean to truly engage and develop a team that challenges that definition every single day? I mean, I know that sounds super simple, but I'm not that complex. It's like that in and of itself is improving the work is the work. That's the hard part. And I think that's the inspiring part to me. Like, how close could we get to that every day?
Yeah, I think it's the beauty's in the simplicity of it. I think you're right. And it sounds, again, it's still, if I'm honest, it's still elusive. And so I love our conversation today, but this is not something that's easy to grab and kind of wrestle to the ground. And some of it is the nature of our work in healthcare today. Mm-hmm. Some of it is still the firefighting mentality that we far too often want to grab that hat off the shelf. But it is leader standard work, and this concept of improving the work is the work is very hard to maneuver because we're good at throwing extra stuff on leaders and say, yeah, just figure that out too. And so I love the practical, Mike. I really love your passion for it. What else would you tell that leader out there that's listening about practically how to get started or how to think about leader standard work in their area?
Wow, that's a good question. I think first is you have to be passionate about the purpose of leader standard work first. If you don't understand the benefit to you, if you don't understand the benefit to those that you serve, start there. You know, I mean, I can share with somebody, like I'm still, after all these years, like somebody will talk about even something as a huddle. Like yeah. If you go out and you say, what's the purpose of a huddle? And you could be doing them for years. You guys have been doing it a long time. I've never ceases to amaze me how many different variations you get about the purpose of a huddle and how many of them are not very inspiring. I hate to say it, but it's like, wow, sure. Wow, that doesn't make me want to do that at all. And I'm like, that better be the best 5 minutes of your day. Well, it's not. Well, then it should be. So if that's my purpose, that's the time where we connect, we have an opportunity to impact lives, and I want it there, then I think that's the first thing with leader standard work. I think the second is, when you're out there, what effect is it having on others? Rather than me just looking at what activities that I need to do for myself, I want to know about the experience of others as I do my leader standard work. Because if that standard work is really aligned to creating a culture of continuous improvement where improving the work is the work, you are by definition agreeing to a partnership with your people. Sure. It's not just you anymore doing your thing irrespective. It's like, I got to partner with you and with me if we're going to build that culture. And I think it's really, really powerful for leader standard work to think of the effect of my standard work on others. Because if that standard work is truly about improving, collaboration, caring, owning our problems and everything, then I think that it's got to be something that's going to be meaningful to others. And if others find meaning in it, I will reinforce the meaning for myself. And I think that gets us out of the orientation a little bit. It helps of it's just a matter of, it's just things that I write down that I need to make sure I do every day. And it's more about, of the things that I think are important, are they having the effect that I hope they would on others?
All right. Well, that has been really fantastic, Mike. Wow. I think we could talk a lot longer. But the thing I loved about it was the practicality, right? Versus a, you know, I think when I first got introduced to leader standard work, it was a spreadsheet. And on that spreadsheet, it was as if it was written in gold. And like, and I remember thinking, wow, really? And so, Mike, this has been great. I love working with you, Mike, at the Shingo Institute. I love hearing stories. I love connecting up with you once a year. But just on behalf of Baptist Memorial Healthcare, thank you so much, my friend, for sharing your words of wisdom and your thoughts and perspectives. And just thank you so much, my friend. I really, really appreciate everything you do.
No, my pleasure. Thanks for having me. You know, thanks for making sure that Brad asked me all the hard questions that nobody wants to answer. That was awesome. Dr. Mason, appreciate it. Guys, thank it you. Was fun. I really hope it helps. You know, if it helps even one or two leaders kind of take a next step forward that's going to better serve people and patients, then we've done a little bit of good, I think.
Amen.
Thank you. Absolutely. Thank you so much. You.